Thank you very much indeed. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. The distinctive catchphrase of veteran broadcaster Sir David Frost, who died overnight of a heart attack at the age of 74, who's going to be remembered for a journalistic career spanning more than 50 years, and especially for his famous political interviews, including this one with former US President Richard Nixon following his resignation over the Watergate scandal.
I let down my friends. I let down the country. I let down our system of government and the dreams of all those young people that ought to get into government but will think it's all too corrupt and the rest. Yep, I let the American people down. And I have to carry that burden with me for the rest of my life.
Wow. To talk about Sir David Frost and his legacy, I'm joined now via Skype by Steve Hewlett, who's writer for The Guardian newspaper, broadcaster and media consultant as well, who was lucky enough to have interviewed Sir David when he was having his 70th birthday. David, thank you so much. Sorry, Steve, thank you so much for speaking to us.
You're welcome.
I didn't mean to turn you into David Frost for a moment there. What was he like? You had the chance to speak to him.
Well, he was enormously friendly, affable. I'm not aware of anyone who really has a bad word to say about him. Certainly, personally, he was, I say, enormously charming, affable, always remembered everybody's names, was an assiduous networker. I say, never appeared to get involved in sort of gossip, the sort of thing going on in media land, never put anybody down, and, as it were, just did his own thing. And for someone who, you know, when I met him just 3 or 4 years ago, I'd met him once or twice before when I got to talk to him properly 3 or 4 years ago. I appear as a sort of mere whippersnapper. You know, he's been at it for decades longer than me. And it was he made me feel, of course it wasn't really, as if it was a sort of conversation of equals. And I think, look, on one hand, no one has a bad word to say about him. That of course, is not necessarily the case with his reputation.
And it's an extraordinary body of work that you look at with him, because he's known for those political interviews, and that's kind of what turned, you know, that's the image that's imprinted on people's minds. But he was a great satirist as well. There were so many other things that he'd done.
Well, he began as a satirist. I mean, at Cambridge University, he was president, I think, of Footlights, which was the Cambridge University Dramatic Society, which gave birth to Monty Python and all manner of hugely talented people. They'll be very familiar to your listeners as well, I'm sure. And so he began life as a satirist, and indeed that was where he got his break, when he was invited to buy Ned Sherrin, I think was the producer, to present the series called TW3, or that was the week that was. Which, the thing about Frosteasy is that in some ways he was, of course, as we all are, but he was very definitely a creature of his time. Television was relatively new. The idea of biting political satire on television was new. No one had really done it before, certainly not as aggressively and out there as that. You know, it arrived at a time when the British government is racked with the Profumo scandal. That's where the defence minister was having a relationship with a call girl, Christine Keeler, who was also seeing the Russian military attaché, and you couldn't make it up because it did in fact happen. So they had plenty of material to go on, and it was really, really biting stuff. So it was almost every point in the early parts of his career, what he did was the kind of first time anyone had really done that, including, incidentally, a very famous interview with Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch had arrived in the UK, he'd been here at university and so on, but he'd come back in the late 60s and bought the News of the World, at the time, the biggest selling English language newspaper in the world, I think. And the first big thing he did was print Christine Keeler, that's the call girl from the Profumo scandal. Murdoch reprinted her, well, printed her memoirs. Now, he was then interviewed by Frost, and clearly, I think, expected that Frost was on the same side of this as him. You know, there was anti-establishment, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Murdoch was mightily surprised to find Frosty taking the opposite point of view and lambasting him for printing old news in the cause of simply making money, you know, commercial. You know, in other words, Murdoch went from virtually unknown to beneath contempt in about 10 minutes. And it was all because of that interview, after which, on his way out of the room, and forgive me for the expletive here, but Murdoch says on his way out of the studio, I'm going to buy this effing company. But anyway, which he did, don't they?
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not much mistaken, that interview is actually part of a new play about Rupert Murdoch. It's reproduced in that play because it was such a seminal moment, and you can argue that Rupert Murdoch had the last laugh, of course, with his ownership.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is that I suppose what it shows you is that initially, Frosty was quite aggressive. Mm. I mean, he wasn't quite the hairdryer style that we see with, you know, some of our interviewers these days, but he was quite aggressive. Mm. As time went on, he adopted a different style. Nixon is an odd one because the Nixon interview, get this, in the interview he did with me in 2009, I had no idea about this. I knew about the Nixon interview, but did you know that they recorded, I think, what did he say it was? 28¾ hours they recorded of interview. 28¾ hours. Can you imagine any politician or statesman, or almost anybody else for that matter, submitting themselves to an interview of that length? I mean, look, if somebody's ghostwriting your autobiography, then maybe.
Yeah.
But to give an interview like that to a television interview is just extraordinary. But the point is, in the latter part of his career, you know, Frosty was known for an interviewing style that was really very different,
yeah.
Very friendly, very sort of collegiate. And you know, his way of explaining it was, you know, if the wind blows, then people tend to button up.
Yeah.
If the sun shines, they take their coats off.
Yeah.
In other words, if you go at them from the start in a really aggressive, you know, sort of in a really aggressive and confrontational way, you can pretty well guarantee that they'll button up.
Yeah.
If you, on the other hand, invite them to sort of join you on a Caribbean beach for a cocktail and a sort of gentle chat, then yes. They might open up and say things that they didn't intend to.
Loosen ties and loosen lips, I think, is the way it works. It's a fantastic legacy that he leaves. I suppose you can do that when you've got 23 hours. But, Steve, look, thank you so much for helping us reflect. It's been great.
Cheers.
Steve Hewlett, writer for The Guardian newspaper, broadcaster, media consultant. And tonight on Late Night Live, incidentally, you can hear Philip Adams interview David Frost. It's not performing miracles. This is a conversation that was recorded 20 years ago in 1993, and it's on from 10 p.m. right here on RN. 27 minutes to 8 right now. It's time for Monday Muse.